So let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 10. I would like to speak a little bit about the grace of God. I think if we speak about the grace of God, it will be a little bit, because grace of God cannot be exhausted, right? Thinking about this statement, when God thinks about us, the estimation of God concerning our life is not that we should live a sin-free life. So God's estimation concerning our life is not that we should live a sin-free life, but the estimation of God concerning our life is that we should live a life by the grace of God. Of course, we are called to live holy, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, but grace is the means to live holy. So we as body of Christ are living in an interesting economy. It's called grace economy, and we call it as grace dispensation. And it does not mean that God was not gracious in the past ages. And it does not mean that God was not gracious in the Old Testament times. So when we say that we live in grace dispensation or grace age or grace economy, it means that God has chosen an age, or God has planned this time period to reveal His grace in a most supreme manner by calling out the body of Christ from the Jews and the Gentiles. That is why we call this dispensation as a grace dispensation. And God was gracious in the past, but there was never a time period in the past where the Jew and Gentile could be called by God as the body of Christ. And there is never an age that is going to be in the future. And this is the most supreme manner by which God could reveal His grace. And God chose this time period, and He calls it as a grace time period or grace economy. I think the best verse that brings out this is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. I know that we are in 1 Peter 5. I would like to leave a premise from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. I was reading this verse this afternoon. There are a few points that I have got out of my exegesis. Here it says that in the ages to come, or for eternity, God might show the surpassing riches of His grace. And God might show the exceeding riches of His grace and kindness towards the church in Christ Jesus. So a few points from this verse. For eternity to come, and think about a time period, it's not a time period, for eternity to come, God is going to demonstrate the riches of His grace which He lavished towards the church. So how much grace we have received? The grace that we have received, the exceeding riches of His grace that was in kindness towards the church, and God is going to demonstrate for eternity to come, and He is going to do it through Jesus Christ. And angels are going to be witness. And think about the value of grace that we have received in this age. And this is really a grace dispensation. And the second point is that the verb, He might show, God might show, it is, the verb is, the voice of the verb is in the middle voice. It means that the subject performs action out of its interest. Or in other words, God has chosen this way to reveal the exceeding riches of His grace for eternity. Or in other words, if you want to word it in a different way, it is the very plan of God for eternity. If we know that there is eternity, in eternity, If there is a word called grace that is uttered, the object of that word would be the body of Christ. That's what this verse says. Think of us in eternity. So when you hear the word grace, when the angel witnessed grace, who is going to be the object of that grace? The body of Christ. For the ages to come, God has planned in his will to reveal the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness towards the church through Jesus Christ. That's what this verse says. Is it not a great grace dispensation? And it is really the one of the... This dispensation is grace dispensation because God has planned in this dispensation, in this age, to call his body, the body of Christ, and through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And the third point in this verse is the channel in which he is going to reveal the exceeding riches of his grace is through the person of Christ. For eternity, if the word grace is uttered, or grace will be uttered, it is a promise, it is not an if condition, it is a promise. Grace is uttered, and the object of that grace would be the body of Christ. The medium or the channel by which God would reveal is the person of Jesus Christ. That is the third point. And the fourth point in this verse is the operation of this revelation of grace is in kindness. That is what Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4 says. God was rich in his mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, and for by grace we are saved. So now let's come back to 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 10. So when we know that this is grace dispensation and there is going to be a testimony for eternity and the exceeding riches of grace is going to be revealed, and the object of it is body of Christ, and God is going to do it through the person of Christ in kindness. And when we know that, and the conclusion that we can come to is the rule of life that we are called to live in this time period is basically the grace. It's going to be the grace rule. Romans chapter 5 verse 21 speaks about it. So God's plan is that grace might reign through righteousness. It is the plan of God. Sometimes we may think when we encounter failures, or when we are in some bondages, or in addictions, or some strongholds, it is a natural tendency for a believer to desire a sin-free life. But God doesn't look at it in that way. So God's estimation concerning our life is not that we should live a sin-free life, of course. That is part of it, but God's estimation concerning our life is that we should live a life by the grace of God. It is not that I'm going to say that I will never do that, and next time I'm going to be watchful. It is not that God's estimation concerning our life. It is that I would live by the grace of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. And it is the higher life that God has called us to live. It is a life by the grace of God. It is the risen life. It is the life that goes through the death. It is the cross life. So with that premise in point and in closing, I would like to read 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 10 and bring out the context of that verse. And what are the three enemies that we have? We are well taught, right? What are the three enemies of the believer? So Joel is saying, system of, right? It's obvious, right? Yeah, sin nature, and then what is the next one? A system of the world, and the third one is Satan himself, right? So these are the enemies that we have, and we live as a part and parcel of the body of Christ with these enemies, and these enemies are clearly brought out by Apostle Peter in this chapter. That is the context. And then he is bringing in the God of all grace. What is grace? Grace is not one of the nature and character of God. Grace is all that is God to me. 1 Peter 5:10. the sum totality of God towards the believer is basically the grace. That is the definition of grace. And it depends on the giver. It is not based on the receiver. The other day in the rap we were talking, like, no, sometimes we have a tendency, oh, David sinned and Solomon sinned. I'm not like David. We don't have to compare in that measure. Even if we have sinned worse than David, still God would be merciful to me. A believer or a person cannot sin as much as God can forgive. That is Romans 5:20, where sin abounds, grace does much more. So on the other hand, as Pastor Benny said, as we are discussing, one who is greater than the David here, I have sinned greater, right? In a negative connotation. The one who is greater than the Solomon here, maybe 2,000 wives, I don't know. So God will be gracious towards us. So the first enemy is pointed out here is 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7. Is it not our old sin nature? Do you see our old sin nature there? Casting all your anxiety on him. Our old sin nature is really anxious. And it can create a lot of problems to us. That is the first enemy that is pointed out by Peter there. The second enemy is in 1 Peter 5:8. Be of sober spirit and be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. You have got a second enemy in that context. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of the suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. That is the third enemy. The system of the world is in 1 Peter 5:9, and Satan is in 1 Peter 5:8, and the sin nature is in 1 Peter 5:7. And who is in 1 Peter 5:10? God of all grace, right? So the life that we are called out to live is a higher life. It's a risen life. It is a life of the cross. And it is the grace life. And then Apostle Peter says, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, watch out this. This is basically Ephesians 2:7. Who called you to his eternal glory. Is it not the same? What did we see in Ephesians 2:7? We are going to be his glory for the ages to come. We are called to be, we are called, the God of grace who has called us to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus. That is the channel. You see Ephesians 2:7 in those phrases. He has called us to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself, then there are four words, perfect, conform, strengthen, and establish you. And then he is saying, this is the truth about the grace in which you stand. So our call is not void of relationship. Our call is not without grace. It is God of grace who has called us. And I would like to bring out those four words that Apostle Peter is speaking about. The word perfect here is the preparation that takes place in the inward of the believer. It happens by the gift of the pastor teacher. In Ephesians 4:11, you have the word kataritso there. And it happens through the medium of the word. In 2 Timothy 3:16, again you have the same word perfect. And it happens by the medium of grace in 1 Peter 5:10. And the second word is, I know that I'm inwardly prepared by God. And the second thing is, second word is basically conviction that we have. It is the same word that is used of Christ when he set his face towards Jerusalem. What use if I have the inward character and the conviction that I can portray if I am not strengthened? That is the third word. I can be stable but without strength. That is the third word. And what is the fourth word? The fourth word, establish, is the word that is used of a foundation. I am standing on the foundation of Christ. Or in one sense, it is basically a man of character with conviction who is strong in the Lord, standing on the rock. That is what God of grace is going to do in the midst of these three enemies. So we will become a man of character with conviction, strong in the Lord, standing on the rock. And we are going to be His glory for eternity to come in Christ Jesus. And this is the way God has planned. And this is God's interest in Ephesians 2:7. Amen. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the scriptures. And the scripture speaks about the person of Christ. And in reference to him, it says that of his fullness we received grace upon grace. There is never an age where you had planned to reveal the supremacy of grace, Lord, by calling out the church. It was humanly concealed and divinely revealed, a mystery. But we are part of it, and we are part and parcel of the body of Christ. And for eternity, we would be the object of your grace, and we are called to be your glory. And thank you so much for this opportunity, and speak to us even as Pastor Anil comes here and minister to us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.